This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise and Tech Talk. The digital age is truly redefining how banking services are delivered, the types of businesses offering these services, and consumer expectations of the services they receive are changing. Legacy systems are making it difficult for traditional banks to compete in this environment. However, a key advantage that these banks have is their customer data, which is essential to survival in the digital economy. How can the traditional banks leverage on this, especially that this year has been challenging? On the phone line with me today is Eric Gerber. He is the Senior Vice President for Europe, the Middle East and Africa, and Asia Pacific and Japan of TIBCO Software. He's going to help share some of his insights into a few talking points that we've got today. Hi, Eric. Thank you for joining me.
Well, good morning, Richard. I would usually be closer to your time zone, but given what we all go through at this point in time, I am grounded in Switzerland, which is where I'm actually originating from.
Yes,
I'm looking after TIBCO's business that is basically outside of North America.
Where would you normally be based, Eric?
Well, the basing is a question that gets stretched a bit, right? When you spend 300 nights in a hotel a year, then that makes it a bit sort of floating.
I see. Okay, so you may have heard me just there talking about the crucial role data analytics plays for traditional banks and for digital banks. Can you talk to me a little bit about that? How crucial is it?
Well, we often say that data is the gold or the crude oil of today's economy. And I would say everyone would speak that sort of language. But the art here is to, first of all, get access to the relevant data that is somewhere in your ecosystem and then do something about it. And for all of that, you need technology.
Okay. And what kind of technology are we talking about?
Well, first of all, you need to capture the data, right? And it's not that the data just sits somewhere where you know exactly where it is. So it used to be an easier challenge in the days and ages where your systems would just reside somewhere on-prem and you would go there and retrieve it. Now, these days, you'll find relevant data everywhere in your environment. You know, that might be on your premise. It might be somewhere on a cloud-based application. It might be out there somewhere with your business partners through you access it through APIs, but it might also be social media streams, especially when we talk about the business-to-consumer landscape. And so capturing all of that requires integration technology. So you need sort of a system that is able to move its sensors out there and take it back and bring it home, so to say, in real time. And then you have it. And when you want to visualize it, you need some sort of other technology. And that's where we go right into the topic of analytics or advanced analytics.
Okay. I mean, obviously, we want to talk about banking today and traditional banks. I mean, obviously, I live in Malaysia, and I've lived here for 11 years, coming up for 11 years. And I have seen the traditional banks here slowly start to transform. I mean, I think it's only within the three or four last few years that I've seen them start to adopt things like banking applications for my phone, which for some other countries seems a little bit slow on the uptake. What's your opinion? Why do banks need to transform? How far behind are some of these banks?
Right. So that's there's a lot of questions there, right? So starting with the slow, I do agree to the fact that the change doesn't happen fast enough. And I'm speaking to that as a consumer, basically.
Right.
For me, I'm used to user experience coming from entertainment, you know, I'm using Spotify, then you have devices, you're used to the Apple experience. But then when you go into the business side, right, you have a retail experience with Amazon, and then you travel, you have an experience with Uber, and that's what you want. You know, basically, my bank doesn't interact with me that way. So the only time I ever hear from them is when, you know, there's a change in terms and conditions that they push out to me. Maybe they take an opportunity to address some sort of updates through a statement that I can see online, or God forbid, if I'm in the red, right? So that's when they communicate. But they don't show that user experience. And the reason why it is important for them to adopt is because there are challenges out there, and that is being fueled by this term open banking.
Why do you think that? I mean, before we get onto open bananking, which is an entirely, which is, we could have a show all about that all by itself. Why do you think there's this slow movement for the traditional bank? Is it because everything has been in place for so long and they're so worried about kind of rocking the boat?
I don't think they are really worried. You know, if we talk about they, we got to face it, right? So a bank traditionally is a large organization, and there's different camps in there. You will see the risk averse and you will see the bold fractions. And that's
right.
That's the problem. You have to act. You have to move. Change is tough, right? And needs consistency and focus. And sometimes these camps, they just hold each other up. Some would like to say, okay, we have to do it right now. And some others would say, but hang on a minute, there's some concerns that we have to address. We have to make sure that safety comes first. And that comes really with this cultural aspect. If you look at this industry, historically, there was never a threat. Banking licenses were hard to get. And so therefore, that sort of created a whole era of, managerial thinking that was not necessarily driven by change, and now they have to change. But that's why it's tough.
So it's nothing to do with the IT architecture of the banking industry and how it's kind of stood still for decades.
Of course, I mean that's the consequence thereof, right? So if you look at all of the basic advantage that a challenger has, they don't have to deal with all of these legacy systems, and legacy is a tough one, you know. My son, he approached me recently. He's 21, and he goes like, "Hey, Dad, I really like UBS. This is this big bank in Switzerland." And I go like, "Oh, that's interesting. I would have thought that you're more into some of these, you know, fintech companies. Why do you like them?" And he goes like, "Yeah, they have this cool app. Look at this." And I go like, "Yes, that's great. I also like this cool app. As a matter of fact, I happen to be a customer of this bank. But I tell you what, son, last year I lost my credit card and I had to go and ask for a new one. And I faced a completely different reality than the one that you're seeing on this app. You're soon being confronted with, you know, tapping into these legacy systems. You have to explain three times what you really want. You're getting pushback from one to the other department. And that is all because these legacy systems stand in the way. Now, the banks want to get rid of them. And it's tough, as you suggested, right? So you cannot just rip them out.
Okay, let's take a short break, Eric. I've got some stuff I want to talk to you about, clearly open banking when we come back. All right?
Sure.
You are tuned in to Tech Talk here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone line with Eric Gerber. He is over in Switzerland right now. He's the Senior Vice President for Europe, Middle East and Africa and Asia Pacific and Japan of TIBCO Software. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. This is Tech Talk. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone line with Eric Gerber. He is the Senior Vice President for for Europe, Middle East and Africa, and Asia Pacific and Japan of TIBCO Software. They are a company that specializes in big data and software integrations. That's accurate, right, Eric?
Yeah, we're a software provider, and as the challenge has it in the market, we're mainly focusing on how to get the best out of your data that you can access in your ecosystem.
Okay, so we've kind of banded the idea of open banking around a little bit here today, and without explaining very, very well, I feel for people who don't know what it is, what open banking is. Could you just kind of do a quick explain, like I'm five, as to what open banking is?
Yeah, I mean, basically, open banking allows the consumer to have a much better awareness with their interaction with the traditional banks that they deposit their wealth in. So, I mean, that's what it was in the past, mainly. You know, I need a deposit box, looking at the bank as a consumer to put my wealth there. Now, right. Open banking basically creates a set of legislations and regulations where the financial services industry is being asked / forced to open their communication and to not be a closed shop, basically, to a client. Now, that.
Right.
That affects many, many parts of the interaction, but it comes with a lot of obligations from the bank side, which ultimately should result in a much better customer experience.
Okay. So to give an example, would be something like, let's take an app, for example, an app that you give permission to check on your bank details, and then the app could keep track of when you've made deposits, when you've made withdrawals, and what you've been spending your money on. Is that kind of accurate?
That's exactly accurate. And that obviously allows a lot more questions to be asked from a from a consumer's perspective. So I, as a consumer, and we had that before, I would like to get engaged much more actively with my bank, because there might be services that I could expect from my bank. Namely, in terms of how to steer what is happening with my little fortune that I may have on their account. So,
right.
In order to do that, I may need a lot more insight. And the insight is there. It's just that, you know, as in most of the cases where we talk, and going back to analytics as a sort of a brand name for technology that allows you to get the best out of your data. The art there is that I don't want to be dependent on just my personal insight. I want a system to tell me what the most likely scenarios are coming out of a pattern of behavior that is probably coming from myself, but it also has to do with the market environment.
Right. And
what we know the banks well for, and what they have done pretty well in the past, most of them at least, is preventing fraud. Because one of the things that could happen is, especially when we interact with mobile payment or with credit cards, is that my identity could be stolen and someone else is taking advantage of that. So obviously it's in the bank's interest and charter to prevent that.
Right. Which is all very, which is great for the consumer. You can literally see where your money is going, whereas before you would just see withdrawal with some kind of strange number next to it, which is a consumer would force you then to contact your bank and go through all that rigmarole, as you mentioned earlier on. Correct.
That's correct, and that has to be multi-channel, because one of the things that obviously changed from the traditional way of interacting with a bank is not just that I have one point of interaction. I now interact with my bank through many different devices in many different sort of forms. And that's where the term fintech comes in, right? So I might also interact with my bank through a third party.
Right. So you mentioned just briefly about how some banks are kind of being advised and some banks are kind of being forced almost. regulations obviously around the world are very different from country to country. How, where has the most stringent regulations been, do you think, that you've encountered so far with open banking? And why do you think maybe that is?
Yeah, I am not necessarily the banking expert, but as I said previously, my remit is to cover the international markets. And one thing that I saw is, of course, Australia has come up with a legislation that was, I think, passed sometime in 2019. They are taking things very seriously there. I can see Japan making strides, also based on regulations that come from the Banking Act that was resolved by the government there. I think there's something going on right now. Singapore, always a place where things are getting turned into practice when it comes to regulations. The UK is definitely a leader in that area. It's I think it's called PSD2. There's these Basel resolutions coming from that sort of banking community, an observatory that basically advise the financial community around the world to act accordingly.
Interesting. So would you say, in your opinion, that, and I know you've just said you're not the banking expert, but do you think that banks are trying to transform, or are they trying to build new digital banks instead?
Yeah, they're definitely trying. We all know that retail banking has changed significantly. You can see that in the proliferation of apps and the fact that, you know, at least in pre-pandemic times, the morning and evening commute are peak times for transactions, you know, as people arrange their finances while they're sitting in trains or subways. And banking has become a virtual, often mobile business, right? So that is happening. However, the shift needs to happen in a comprehensive way. And banks still face the fact that more than 80% of their systems are in monolithical environments. Even though when you click into one of the big banks' strategic initiatives, you will always find like cloud first. Mm. And that shift just hasn't happened yet. And I think we talked a little bit about the hurdles and the obstacles that stand in between. A lot of them are cultural and the others are basically hard work. It's change in its pure sense.
And that kind of leads me on to that almost not quite my final question, but, you know, there's this argument about people who still want a traditional banking experience, you know, or people who are less tech savvy, for example. I mean, with open banking, where do they fit in this whole scheme of things? If they still want to go into and use a traditional bank, we're not likely to see the death of the traditional bank anytime soon, are we?
That's, I think, a $1 billion question. I would probably be willing to put a little bit of money on a bet here. whatever soon means, right? But I, as a consumer, I can only hope for a disruption because I feel like I'm not being taken seriously. You know, and I'm not a billionaire. Probably if I was, then I would be taken seriously by some of these banks. But there needs to be a disruption happening. And you're right. There will be also market segments / clienteles or personas where you want to cater to them in a traditional way. But we have seen through the pandemic what it means. If human beings are forced to deal with a new normal, I hate this word though, but if they're forced to comply with new ways of dealing with it, dealing with things, then they do. And I bet that a lot of these people who are not that tech savvy, who were forced over the last 6 months to interact with their bank in a way that is considered modern, they don't want to go back anymore.
I agree. I can't take your bet because I actually agree with you. That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, is the question. So I'm pretty certain that the banks have to do something dramatic over the next 10 years because the challenges are becoming more incumbent and more important. So this will create a lot of pressure on the system, and You know, I think it was Churchill at one point saying, if you're going through hell, then keep going. And the banks do realize that they're actually going through hell right now. They're surviving. They're not thriving at this point in time.
Are they reinventing the customer journey then, do you think?
No, they don't reinvent it because it's been portrayed already by other industries how it should be. They need to follow, but they need to follow quickly.
So like you were saying, like the Ubers are doing, and like the other companies where, and Amazon, in fact, you know, where you see, you order something, your results are there instantly. You can follow every part of the process of your purchase and follow it to the minutia of data. And yet the banks are still not there yet.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, you know, I have a lot of sympathy for banks. They just simply can't move as fast as the challengers do because the challenger had the luxury of starting their infrastructure from scratch. And sooner or later, that will come back and bite them, right? And it's biting them right now. And Uber, if you look at it, I don't know how old Uber really is, but I would be surprised if it's more than a decade old. Even Amazon, it's been around for a bit longer, but the whole sort of customer experience wasn't built like 50 years ago. And most of the banks have these sort of legacy systems. Imagine you need to maintain a system that is 50 years old. Where do you find people who really understand how the technology works as it was used 50 years ago?
Yeah. Eric, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. That was Eric Gerber, the SVP of I'm going to get this right, Europe, Middle East and Africa and Asia Pacific and Japan of TIBCO Software. We have been talking about the crucial role data analytics plays for traditional banks and digital banks, why traditional banks need to transform and some other stuff. You've been tuned into Tech Talk here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.